Jeffrey, everyone talks about the US-China AI race as if it's a sprint with a clear finish line.
But from what you've studied, it sounds more like a marathon where both sides are running different courses. Who's actually ahead?
I love that framing, because it captures something important: the two countries are competing on different dimensions. If you measure by frontier model capability, the US is ahead. If you measure by deployment scale, application breadth, and speed of adoption, China is ahead. If you measure by compute capacity, the US leads but China is catching up fast. There's no single metric that tells you who's winning, and that's what makes this so complex.
Welcome to TechNova. I'm Dr. Sarah Chen.
And I'm Marcus Webb. Today we're joined by Jeffrey Ding, Assistant Professor of Political Science at George Washington University and author of Xinai, a leading analysis of China's AI ecosystem. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Jeffrey, let's start with the most visible battleground, chips. The US has imposed increasingly strict export controls on advanced AI chips to China. How effective have those been?
The export controls have had a real impact, but not the impact that was intended. The goal was to slow China's AI development by cutting off access to advanced GPUs, particularly NVIDIA's H100, H200, and now Blackwell chips. And yes, China's access to the most advanced training chips has been restricted. But the response from China has been to accelerate domestic chip development. Companies like Huawei, with its Ascend series, are producing chips that are maybe one generation behind NVIDIA, but improving rapidly. China has also found ways to access chips through third countries and through the grey market. And perhaps most importantly, Chinese labs have gotten very efficient at training models with less compute. DeepSeek's training costs are a fraction of what US labs spend for comparable model quality.
So the export controls are pushing China to become more self-sufficient rather than holding them back?
Exactly. There's a concept in economics called the substitution effect. When you restrict access to something, you accelerate domestic development of alternatives. We're seeing that in real time. Before the export controls, Chinese companies were happy to buy NVIDIA chips. Why build your own when you can buy the best? Now they have no choice, and the investment in domestic semiconductors has skyrocketed. Huawei's Ascend 910C is reportedly about 60% as fast as the H100 for AI training, and the next generation is expected to close that gap further.
What about the smuggling angle? There have been reports of large-scale chip smuggling into China.
Yes, and this is a real challenge for enforcement. When a chip is the size of a book and worth $30,000, the incentive to smuggle is enormous. There have been cases of chips being routed through Southeast Asia, through shell companies, even being disassembled and reassembled. The US government has tried to tighten enforcement, adding more countries to the restricted list, requiring end-use verification, but it's a cat-and-mouse game. I think the honest assessment is that the export controls have slowed China's access to the very latest chips by maybe 6 to 12 months, but they haven't created a fundamental bottleneck.
Let's talk about talent. For years, the US benefited from a brain drain of Chinese AI researchers coming to US universities and companies. Is that still happening?
The talent flow has shifted dramatically. After 2018, when the US started restricting visas for Chinese researchers in sensitive areas, and especially after the China Initiative, the Department of Justice program that prosecuted academics for undisclosed China ties, many Chinese researchers chose to stay in China or return home. At the same time, China has invested heavily in its own AI education system and in attracting talent from around the world. The result is that China now has a very deep AI talent bench domestically. If you look at the authors of top AI conference papers, the share affiliated with Chinese institutions has been growing steadily, while the share of Chinese-born researchers at US institutions has declined.
Is the US still attracting AI talent from other countries?
Yes, and this is important. The US is still the top destination for AI researchers globally, but increasingly, those researchers are coming from India, Europe, and other regions rather than China. The US university system, the venture capital ecosystem, and the concentration of frontier AI labs are still powerful magnets. But the relative advantage is narrowing. And there's a concern that if visa policies become more restrictive broadly, the US could lose its talent advantage across the board.
What about the quality of research? Is Chinese AI research as good as US research?
On the applied and engineering side, Chinese research is world-class. Chinese labs have produced some of the most influential work in efficient training, model compression, and practical deployment. On the fundamental research side, new architectures, novel training paradigms, theoretical breakthroughs, the US and Europe still lead, but the gap is closing. The DeepSeek R1 paper, for example, was a genuine contribution to the reasoning model literature, not just an engineering achievement. It was cited heavily by US researchers.
Let's talk about where each country has unique advantages. What does China do better than the US in AI?
China has three structural advantages. First, data. China has 1.4 billion people generating massive amounts of digital data, payment transactions, social media, e-commerce, surveillance footage. For applications that require large-scale real-world data, China has an inherent advantage. Second, deployment speed. China's regulatory environment for AI is more permissive in many areas. Companies can deploy and iterate faster, with fewer compliance hurdles. Third, government coordination. China's industrial policy can direct resources towards strategic AI priorities in a way that the US system, with its market-driven approach, can't easily replicate.
And what does the US do better?
The US has its own set of advantages. First, the frontier model ecosystem, OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, Meta, the most capable AI models in the world are still being trained in the US. Second, the chip ecosystem, NVIDIA, AMD, the semiconductor design and manufacturing infrastructure, even with TSMC's role in Taiwan, is dominated by US companies. Third, capital markets, the US venture capital system is uniquely good at funding high-risk, high-reward technology bets. And fourth, allies, the US has deep AI partnerships with the UK, EU, Canada, Japan, and Korea, which multiplies its effective talent and compute base.
How do you see the competition evolving over the next 5 years?
I think we are heading toward a bifurcated AI ecosystem, two parallel stacks of models, chips, and applications. The US and its allies will use one stack, China and its partners will use another. This creates inefficiency and duplication, but it also means both ecosystems will continue to advance independently. The risk is that if the bifurcation becomes too extreme, we lose the benefits of open scientific exchange, researchers can't collaborate, papers aren't shared, and progress slows for everyone. That would be the worst outcome.
Jeffrey, is there a scenario where the US and China cooperate on AI?
I think cooperation on frontier model development is unlikely given the geopolitical tensions. But there are areas where cooperation is both possible and essential, AI safety research, for example. If an advanced AI system behaves dangerously, that's a risk to both countries. We've seen some cooperation through international forums like the AI Safety Summit and the UN's AI Advisory Body. I think the most productive path is to maintain open channels for safety and governance discussions, even as the competition in capabilities intensifies.
What's the one thing you want people to understand about the US-China AI competition?
I'd say, don't reduce it to a horse race. The question isn't just who's ahead. It's, what kind of AI future do we want? The competition shapes the development of a technology that will affect every aspect of human life. We need to be thinking about safety, ethics, distribution of benefits, and democratic accountability, not just who has the biggest model or the most chips. The framing of the conversation matters, and right now it's too narrow.
Jeffrey Ding, thank you so much for joining us. This was incredibly insightful.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This is TechNova. See you next time.